Good morning and welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Laura Highland, Head of the Learning Academy at Education for Health, and this week we're thinking about managing change in practice. I'm joined this morning by Patrick Highland from Cadent Gas. Patrick is an operations manager in the property department, and change management is a key part of his role. I've asked him to talk me through a recent change that he has implemented at strategic level and how aspects of the change model have been instrumental in bringing in this change. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Laura.
Could you tell me, first of all, just a little bit about your role?
So my role is really focused on the operations elements of running a property network. So it tends to be things like facilities management and building compliance are the big areas. But also we're focusing a lot on environmental improvements and lots of carbon reduction targets. So very much the centre of our focus at the moment.
Fantastic. And obviously for our podcast this week, we're thinking about managing change. Could you tell me a little bit about the change that you have been implementing recently?
A recent change that I've put in place is that I have introduced an app to help the site occupiers in our world to help better record the activities that they do on a daily basis that support building compliance. Previously, the process was all done on paper, so there's lots of system benefits to everybody by bringing this onto an app, so that all the data then can be brought back into a central point and help us better measure and report on building compliance.
Fantastic. So one of the things that we're really thinking about this week is achieving a shared purpose. Could you explain how this app contributes to your shared purpose as an organisation or as a team?
In a nutshell, building compliance is about keeping everybody safe and making sure that the places that everybody works in are fit for purpose and not going to cause injury. So there's a shared benefit that everyone then has a safe working environment by these individuals filling in the information on my app and handing it back into us.
And it's really interesting that you've mentioned benefits there, because I imagine that in terms of getting people on board with change, communicating those benefits is a really key part.
Comms is probably one of the biggest parts of any kind of change process, I would say. And the phrase that we tend to bandy around a lot is taking people on the journey.
I love it.
And we have people who have done things in a very old, entrenched way for some time, who now need to be brought into the 21st century and educated to how to use an app. You can't always do that in a big step. That needs to be little steps sometimes.
And did you encounter much resistance during this change process?
There was some resistance. I think there are always a couple of people who need more assistance and help to navigate the change curve than others do. But in general, it wasn't too much resistance to this one.
And those that did need a little bit more support, how did you manage that?
For the individuals who really needed it, then we did some targeted sessions just with them. But in general, we ran a lot of training calls and support calls that were just available for people to drop into and ask questions.
Okay, so there was that opportunity for two-way dialogue.
Yes.
For people to ask those questions around the app.
Yeah, so we did. So people could anonymously post feedback through the app if they wanted to, or they could call in with questions and have a two-way dialogue.
Fantastic. And in terms of the scale of this project, how many people did you have involved?
Initially, there were 81 people with this one.
Okay, and were they in differing roles or were they all part of the same team?
They're in differing roles across the organisation. They are generally people who are based at each location, so they have some knowledge of the buildings with which they work in.
Brilliant. And now that you've been through this process, and I assume the app is up and running?
Yes.
What's been the impact?
It's helped a lot, because we can now sort of report on our data in a much more clean and efficient fashion, because it's not sifting through 81 Word documents, it's now on one spreadsheet. And it means we can then play back to the 81 people who collected the information in the first place a far better and more comprehensive suite of reports.
Fantastic. That's really important what you've just said there, that opportunity for feedback, I suppose, for those people that have been involved in the change process to actually see the benefits. Mm. And I would assume it's beneficial to them in their daily roles.
Yes, it is. And it's an area that's been difficult for us, actually, to collect any information over the last few years. So as they see the reporting coming back out to them, the whole job of maintaining compliance becomes easier for everybody. actually. So we've gone over the initial hump of collecting all this information in the first instance, and everything will become easier for all of us, actually.
Fabulous. So it was indeed a journey.
It was.
Right. Thank you very much for that, Patrick. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
I was really keen to talk to Patrick for this podcast because although he's not working in a healthcare setting, the change management that he's been working on recently involves safety, which obviously is really key at the moment as we return to more face-to-face practice as the COVID restrictions ease. And the fact that the change that he's implemented is across multiple sites, I think at the moment this is a real issue, trying to find that consistency and that shared purpose across various different sites or settings. It might be that you're trying to implement that return to face-to-face consultations across a PCN or within a trust, and trying to get everybody on board with new systems in a way that works for everybody can be really challenging. And that's something that we've talked about a little bit in this week's fact sheet. So what I wanted to do was to reflect on some of the strategies that Patrick talked about in terms of managing this larger scale change. And obviously one of the things that we picked up on early on was the importance of communications. I know Patrick was really keen that there was a robust comms plan for this piece of work so that people understood the change that was coming in, that they understood the rationale for it, but also what was in it for them. Again, it's thinking about that shared purpose. And so when you are looking to implement a change in practice, I think communications is probably one of the first things that you need to think about. And it really needs to be a two-way process. Obviously, you want to get information out there so that people understand the change that's coming, but also allow them to communicate back to you, to have that two-way dialogue that Patrick mentioned. And it was really interesting that within his consultation period for the change process, he enabled people to have either open and honest conversations or to give their thoughts anonymously. And I think sometimes providing that opportunity for confidential or anonymous feedback can be really key, because there might be things that people feel or wish to express in response to a change that they're not comfortable having attributed to them personally. It might be that there's fear of recrimination, that they might be treated differently because of those views, or when you're looking at larger scale changes that perhaps affect things like roles and responsibilities or even redundancies, people don't want to risk that detrimental effect of sharing their views. So I think where possible, when you are managing a change situation, giving people chance to air their views without fear of recrimination is really important. Patrick also mentioned that he facilitated question and answer sessions for all of the teams that were involved in the change that he managed. And while the opportunity for anonymous feedback that we've just discussed is really important, equally having a public forum for asking questions can also be really valuable. How often do we go into these situations thinking that we're the only person feeling something or the only one that wants to ask a particular question, when in reality a number of people are feeling the same way? So to go along to consultations or Q&A sessions can be an opportunity to hear other people's questions and gather other people's views, and also to get that reassurance that you're not alone in the process. And it all comes back to that shared purpose. It may be that other people have got different concerns but that link to the same issues within the bigger picture. If we reflect back on safety, it may be that as a healthcare professional, you're worried about conducting physical examinations in the post-COVID environment. The reception staff may be worried about the number of people touching the reception desk or coming close to them face to face. It's different issues, it's different practicalities, but the overall concern is the same. And so by hearing other people's views, you can work together, you can do that design together process to address those and to manage the situation in a way that's beneficial for everybody. Patrick also talked about the importance of implementing change in small steps rather than trying to do everything at once. And I think we've all been in situations where we've perhaps felt overwhelmed and we would have welcomed information, communications in more bite-sized chunks. And so when you are managing a change, it can be really useful to almost drip feed that information to give people really concrete ideas of timelines as far as you can, so they know what to expect at each stage of the process. And again, if we think back to the elements of the change model, one of those is project management. And when you're bringing in a change, having a really robust project management approach with your time scales, with your milestones set out and communicated to people as widely as you can be really helpful in making that change easier to digest, because people can anticipate what's coming, but they can also see how that process builds. They can see the rationale behind it and how one change will impact on another and another to finally achieve that shared purpose and goal at the end. And I think intrinsically linked to that is the aspect of the change model that talks about motivating and mobilising. Obviously, we heard from Patrick that he did encounter individuals who were resistant to change, and I think that happens in any change situation. But what he really picked up on was the fact that there were people who were very committed to old practices, who were perhaps reluctant to try new technologies, to try new innovations. And I think a really strong project management approach can be really helpful in supporting these individuals. If you can build in to that process opportunities for training, for trialing and evaluating new ideas before you commit to them, it might be that those individuals are more motivated to give things a go. So even if they are still feeling reluctance, if they're still feeling a little bit worried, it will be easier to mobilise them if, again, they can understand those steps, if they can see how the change is going to be rolled out and that there are going to be opportunities throughout the process for them to give their feedback, and that they will have time to get used to these new processes and new ways of working. The other key area that Patrick touched upon was measurement. And obviously the app that he was introducing was a measurement tool. It was about data gathering. But when we think about change more widely, the ability to measure outputs, to measure successes, is really important. And if we think again about those individuals who perhaps are a little bit reluctant to engage in the change process, if you can get to a point at the end, or certainly in the review stage of the process, if you can demonstrate impact in a way that is tangible, so you have measured increased output, you have measured improved safety, whatever it is that you've been trying to achieve, that can be really reassuring for people, and it can be that last boost for them to embrace that change and to be fully engaged with it. Equally, as a business, so as a practice or an organisation, you need to be able to demonstrate that measurable impact. The likelihood is that you're going to need to report on the success of any changes that you've made, and to illustrate the benefits once you've implemented a change. So making sure throughout that process that whatever you're doing is measurable, that you've got your smart targets, you've got the right tools in place to measure what you're doing, is really key to the success of a change initiative. And obviously, if the change hasn't been as successful as you'd hoped, if you need to explore alternative options or even revert back to your original ways of working because evaluation has shown that actually that was more effective, you need to be able to demonstrate that too. So again, that measurement, even if it's measuring at this point a lack of outputs, can be useful in building your case and demonstrating evidence for why a change in some circumstances perhaps isn't appropriate. And linked to that, as Patrick mentioned, is that opportunity for feedback at the end of a change project. So for everybody who's been involved, all of your stakeholders, they need to hear about the successes, they need to hear about the challenges, and they need to have the opportunity again to share any views and to discuss their experience of the change process. All of this is going to inform any future change management, and your team, your staff will feel much more valued and feel that they have much more of an active involvement in any change processes if they are able to have this reflection and this evaluation opportunity at the end of the process. One of the things we haven't really touched upon this morning is the relationship between change management and leadership. And it goes without saying that when you are bringing in a change or going through a process of change, it's so important to have the right person leading that process. And it's one of the reasons that I was really keen to talk to Patrick about his experience, because his role within his change initiative was very much maintaining that strategic oversight. He wasn't necessarily delivering the change, but he was there to manage any of those reluctances, to deal with any challenges, and to keep the process moving in a positive way. And I think this is where it becomes really clear that you need a strong leader for change. It's not necessarily about taking a management approach. It's about that leadership. It's about taking people, as Patrick said, on a journey and getting them on board to achieve that shared purpose. And I'm not going to talk about leadership in very much detail now at all, but in one of our previous podcasts, Anne Saxon, our Director of Learning, Design and Quality, talks about finding the right person to manage a change, thinking about the strengths, the skills, the abilities within your team, and identifying the individual that's best suited to managing a process of change. So I would really recommend having a listen to that podcast and getting a bit more of a sense of how leadership is such an important part of change management. And if we reflect for a final time on the change model, leadership by all is one of those eight components of managing change successfully. And I think it's really interesting that it does phrase it as leadership by all. And obviously, so as we've said, we do need to have a strategic leader for any change. And part of that strategic leadership is making sure that all parties are equipped with the skills to express themselves and to take ownership of any aspects of the change process that they are responsible for delivering or that impacts on their experience. And in thinking about experience, I think we need to highlight that within the change process in healthcare particularly, we need to be thinking about our patients as well. Obviously, they are key stakeholders in any change that we make to practice. And if we think back to the example that we've been discussing about making primary care settings safe to return to face-to-face consultations, the patient voice needs to be absolutely central to any decisions or plans about how that transition is going to be managed. So, as the leader of the change process, you're absolutely responsible for facilitating opportunities to gather patient views, whether it's through consultations, discussion forums, surveys. But to take it a step further than that, it's absolutely best practice to get the patients involved with the design process for implementing the change itself. So what are their ideas and suggestions for how to make the practice safe for those face-to-face consultations? What's going to allay their fears? But also, what opportunities have they seen? What solutions might they be able to identify based on their experience as service users and experts in accessing primary care services? It may be that during the pandemic, they've really appreciated the opportunity to access remote consultations. Is there a blended model that you could explore using remote and face-to-face consultations? So gathering that insight, but also getting patients involved in that planning process, really builds that sense of ownership and facilitates that idea of leadership by all. And again, if we return to the central part of the change model, which is the shared purpose, obviously patients and healthcare professionals are working towards the same aim. They're working towards improved patient care and a great patient experience. There's obviously a lot more that we could discuss about change management, but I'm going to leave it there for today's podcast. I would encourage you to have a look at this week's fact sheet, which is all about managing change towards a shared purpose, and also to have a look at fact sheet 13, which gives you some details of frameworks and models that can be used for managing the operational side of change. Within the Learning Academy, we will be developing a suite of courses that look at leadership and change management. So do keep an eye on our website. And if you are interested in any of our training or have any questions, please do get in touch with learnersupport@educationforhealth.org. Thank you very much for listening today. Bye bye.